If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It was more than just a loss in a series, you know, losing a game in a series. To me, this was more symbolic of all the things that you doubted, BT, you and others doubted coming into the year. And all the things that we needed to see, they weren't there last night. It was all confirmed, all the doubts and all the disbelief and all the, you know, potentially negative things about this team. It was all confirmed in one game last night, a defining game for me for this group of the Knicks.
Yeah, I mean, incredibly uninspiring, incredibly disappointing, not incredibly a shock for the reasons you just chronicled here. And listen, now, I mean, a must-win game is when you literally must win or there's consequences.
I know,
no, but you're not wrong when you say must-win from a perceptual perspective, but also from a rest perspective. Now the Celtics get to kick back and chill. Knicks got to get back on a plane, go back to Detroit. Going to be a raucous environment. That game is on Thursday. If they win, and right now I saw the Pistons are 1.5-point favorites. How about that? Pistons a favorite in Game 6, at least what I saw initially. That could change.
I wouldn't touch that game.
No, I'm not saying
I
for betting purposes.
I felt good in Game 4. Yeah,
I felt good last night.
Yeah, interesting.
I thought they were going to mop them. And then if they win Thursday, we'll see. And it's right back to work on Saturday. And I don't know what the round two is going to be, the schedule, but you're probably playing Tuesday night against the Celtics.
Yeah.
You're just going to be exhausted.
That's why I thought it was a must win. And because it was so fragile anyway, everything had to line up perfectly. If they would have won last night, forget about even convincingly, if they would have won, the energy today from me would have been, okay, they did what they had to do. People doubted them coming into this series against the Pistons. It was a hard fought, tough series, superstar with Cade Cunningham, whatever. They dispose of them in five. Now we get set to see. They get the rest. We get to set to see how they were going to look against the championship team. Now, obviously, that would have been a whole nother different level of evaluation, but at least everything would have been set, the proper rest, disposing of the Pistons in five. You feel good about it. Now, no matter what happens, you're not going to feel good about it because if they win in six or seven, the rest isn't there. They already blew an opportunity that they should have taken advantage of. You can't lose. How do you lose two games in the first round at home if you consider yourself a good team?
That's gross. And by the way, the Pistons beat them twice at the Garden during the season.
Yeah, so it should not be the case. Now you can say, well, they won a couple games on the road. And even Tibbs was trying to spin that last night. Like, our guys, you know, play better when they're booed or whatever it was he was saying. Like, when they're taunted, they respond to that. Dude, I mean, what are you kidding me? You gotta perform well at home. I think Tibbs is smart enough to know this team just doesn't have it. And I do think that it's now something back to what Wally Szczerbiak was hinting at. Again, I'm not trying to speculate, like, guys don't like each other, whatever. But there's clearly a lack of cohesion when you talk about team. And with this, the Knicks have talent for sure, but they don't play well together as a team. It seems like a mishmash at times with guys out there as opposed to defined roles. Back in the 90s, and it's the one thing I use to reference it, you could use a current example and say the Celtics, where they don't have superstars all over the place, but their role players excel in their roles.
And their superstars are better than the Knicks superstars.
Correct. So that's why they're champions. If you go back to the 90s, when Derek Harper would come out of the game, there was a clear role for Chris Childs to come back in and replace
and Greg Anthony before that,
okay,
by the way.
Okay, or whatever. Yep, yep. Or you want to go with
you had a backup point guard.
Charlie Ward and Chris Childs.
Yeah, yeah.
One guy was a starting point guard. When he needed rest, you go with the backup point guard. Their roles were the same. And now, I don't know, who's the backup point guard? Is it Miles McBride? Is it Campaign?
I think it's McBride.
Okay,
you think,
but we don't know. And then why are they both on the floor at the same time? And then there's different variations of different lineups at different times. You could figure that out in the regular season. Come postseason,
yeah,
it should be clear whose role is what, who's on the floor with who, who's filling in for who, and they don't have that. And that's why when that one play that I keep referencing, to me it showed a disconnect between Bridges and Anunoby. How does Bridges not trust a wide-open Anunoby in the corner? Down six, under a minute to go. Instead of feeding a wide-open Anunoby who was calling for the ball, he pulled up, made the two-point jump shot, mm-hmm. but it really didn't do anything because...
He's still down four.
Yeah,
but to me, that's still on Tom Thibodeau. That's on Tibbs.
Maybe, which is why last night... I'm with you. Last night was the first time I said... I'm open to a coaching change. I don't think it's going to solve all the problems,
yeah.
but I could understand why you would want that now.
Yeah, and listen, by the way, I want to have Zoo read something in 1 second about the... I want him to read the Wally Szczerbiak quote, which he will in a second, from before the start of the series, which might prove to be prescient, shall we say. Anyway, let's not lose sight of what's going on here, guys. The Pistons came into the series with 9 players who never played a playoff game, number one. Karl Anthony Towns was in the Western Conference Finals a year ago. We know that Jalen Brunson's played a ton, and Hart and everybody else. This team's barely played any. By the way, from an organizational perspective, they had not won a playoff game since 2008 when they beat the Knicks early in the series. So it's not like you're playing some battle-tested, veteran-laden, just savvy team. It's embarrassing. Zoo, can you please read this from Wally Szczerbiak about a week and a half or so ago?
Oh, I got you guys. So Wally came out and he said, we're going to learn a lot about the interior of the locker room in this series quick. And then he went on to say, because the talent is there, they should blow out this Detroit team when you go player for player. If they don't dominate this series, there's something going on in that locker room that's not right.
So, okay, that is heavy. So go ahead. That is real stuff right there.
And now, definitively, forget about the interpretation before, how you want to interpret those words before the postseason. There's no way anybody could say, I don't care if the Knicks win in six and they blow them out by 20, there's no way the Knicks dominated the series. Nobody would say that.
Oh, my God. No, they've been pushed around and pumped more than they dominated.
Correct. So, to Wally's point, if they didn't dominate this series, something is wrong. They have not dominated this series and will not dominate this series, even if they win this series.
Yep.
Which makes me think that there is something off.
Something is wrong. And to me, I think, now this is a guess, and I'm not putting words in Wally's mouth, but you just don't hear or read something like that really ever, especially from somebody who is on the network of the games. I mean,
he's in a building.
Exactly. He's piped in, hell of a player, New York guy, grew up in Long Island, knows the team and the franchise, back of his hand. I'm sure he wants them to win, but he's going to do his job. He's going to be honest. And I don't understand how, what I think, and this is a guess, I think he's talking about Tom Thibodeau. Because he goes out of his way to clearly illuminate the disparity in talent. Zoo, do you have it back up? Just read the part about the talent just very quickly. Listen to this, guys.
Yeah, so he went on to say that when you go, I'm going to hyperphrase there. I forget what the word is.
Go ahead.
But it's because the talent is there, they should blow out this Detroit team when you go player for player.
Stop. That's it. You should blow out this team when you go player for player. That's a shot at the coach.
Right, but that's why I say that it's not just about... The Knicks have talent, but sometimes you'd rather have a team as opposed to just the talent. Now, the Karl Anthony Towns thing to me makes them significantly better this year than they were last year. So we've had the DiVincenzo, Hartenstein argument, whatever.
Yeah, that's over. I
want Kat and Brunson. The issue is Bridges, and I'm not trying to pick on Bridges.
I got you.
But he may be, let's say, more talented all around than OG Anunoby. But OG Anunoby excels at his role, or is more consistent in his role to me, than Bridges, who can one night score 30 if you need to, one night he's going to be invisible. The up and down nature of Bridges' game, or at least since he's been a Knick to me, is maddening, and I'd rather trade off his talent and high-end potential for a more consistent, solid, lesser talented, defined role player that I think would fit the team better. You're trading talent, but
it's a good thought, and it would probably make them more whole in a couple of different ways. But again, all right, trade Bridges. You gave up 5 first-round picks.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that they're going to do that. I'm just saying that that's one example of it. The other examples could be Miles McBride. Yeah, McBride looks like at times, dude, lighting it up.
Yeah,
from that.
Yeah.
But is he, like, what does he do exactly? Is he a great defensive player that, you know, okay, McBride's in the game. He's
scrappy. He played D. You got to play D for Huggins at West Virginia back in the day. He's a pretty good defender.
He's not, to me, a lockdown known defender where, okay, at least when he's in the game, you have that. He's more of anything, an offensive guy when he's on the floor.
I think he's like Vinny Johnson. Like, in a way, talking about this, ironically playing the Pistons, like a guy coming off the bench, you know, who's expected to get some buckets. Let him eat a little bit.
But that, to me, is not something that they need. I'd rather have a point guard who could facilitate, get the ball down, be smart with the basketball, let the other talented guys that you have eat. I don't need Deuce McBride to be able to shoot the basketball, but yet that's all he does, and he's inconsistent at that. And it's not, to me, he's not a lockdown defender. So I'm not saying he can't play defense. He's probably better than Brunson playing defense, but he's not a lockdown defender. Anyway, I'm not trying to pick on each individual. I'm just saying that there are roles that are lacking here from this team.
But who defines the roles?
Yeah, well, I mean,
that's the coach.
But it's also Leon Rose bringing in these players, and then the coach has got to try to make it fit, which obviously he hasn't.